Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Right, so we've also been, now I get hysterical about this, right? You know me. There's a whole mumps outbreak in South Africa. Now, whereas I'm not that worried about my sterility anymore, in fact, maybe I'd even welcome it, the mumps used to scare the bejeebies out of us. I don't know, as kids, we were always petrified of mumps. It just became a thing. I don't know. Either way, there's apparently an outbreak, and you know me, I'm a hypochondriac, I worry, suffer from great anxiety. What is going on? Professor Adrian Puren, we have not spoken in way too long. How are you?
Absolutely. All right, and yourself? I don't think mumps is a tool for sterility, I'm afraid.
Oh, isn't it? So you can't go either the vasectomy or the mumps route. Is that not one of the options?
Absolutely. The options are much better, I'm sure.
Medical science. Hey, wow, we've come a long way. All right, so first of all, I thought that we were all and our kids were vaccinated against mumps.
Well, this is where I guess South Africa is quite interesting. So, yes, I think those in the private sector, their children certainly have access to vaccines. So part of the regimen is the mumps, measles, and rubella vaccine that's in the private sector. However, in the public sector, there is no access or limited access to the MMR. In fact, only I think in the next year or so we'll be introducing the rubella virus. Vaccine. So mumps is still endemic in South Africa.
Right.
And in fact, it's not really, because of the nature of mumps and the outcomes, there's no formal surveillance system, but certainly from, you know, laboratories, anecdotes, and so forth, we do know that it is in circulation. However, more recently, there were a number of anecdotes, and then looking at the laboratory data, it certainly showed that there were a larger number of cases than usual compared to previous years, and in specific younger age groups as well. There's a range of age groups that are affected, depending on the young age groups, and as well, all the provinces seem to be affected to a greater or less extent. And as you know, the assessment for this, again, do clinicians recognize it? If they're not looking for that hamster effect on your face,
right,
they may miss it. So again, the diagnosis. So I think we probably are undercounting the cases and the level of endemicity. But it's a virus, I think, that shouldn't give you the bejeebies.
Right.
Your phrase. Because in the
it's
main,
not a scientific word, though, hey?
But I think the view is that really that compared to other viruses, it is a respiratory virus. So yes, you're quite right. Close contact, respiratory droplets,
right.
Keeping surfaces clean, wearing masks, taking children out when they are ill. You know, those are the sort of standard things that we should be doing. But we do not think that, or we do know that, in fact, it doesn't cause severe disease to the extent of those other viruses.
Right.
So yes, you can have a meningitis or encephalitis. You can have the orchitis, as you refer to, the testicular swelling.
Right.
But these should resolve, but they're not major complications, and hospitalizations is fairly rare. It's really symptomatic treatment. That is required in the main.
Is there a way to, does the vaccine wear off? In other words, you know, after a period is there a way to check that somebody has been properly vaccinated?
Yeah, so I think, again, you know, the way in which one checks for proper vaccinations to make sure that they have had the series of vaccines, I think it's two core, that they have had that series. It should provide, I think, in the main lifelong protection, but yes, there have been cases where I guess it's been incomplete or reinfection is certainly possible.
And what age do we generally vaccinate?
It's probably even the younger age groups. I don't have the sequence in my mind in terms of because as I said, it's mainly in the private sector. But it's probably provided when they do the MMR. So that'll be in the younger age group, the infants and babies.
And you would recommend it?
I certainly would recommend it, of course. Yes, absolutely. So I'm hoping, you know, it's all about costs and balancing costs. So that's why I say, you know, we have this interesting dichotomy in South Africa where MMR is available in the private sector, but not in the public sector. There certainly is a move now to include rubella in the public sector as well. But given that the fact that, you know, the mumps is not that severe in terms of infections, and balancing costs against other vaccines and other priorities, I think it may be lower on the priority list compared to, say, SARS-CoV-2, where again we can target and we know the older adults, those with severe comorbidities, those are the individuals we should be targeting vaccines for, at least for SARS-CoV-2. So that's sort of balancing act. Mm-hmm. I presume that the government goes through in terms of how it selects, and listening to the expert, of course, yeah.
Right. And before I let you go, how are we doing with COVID? We're hearing anecdotally of a lot of people that are ill, but not particularly more severe than the seasonal flu. What is your approach at the moment?
Yeah, so our approach is really what, and I think we do follow the guidance from WHO. As you know, they've lifted up the emergency regulations. And so many countries have been doing that regardless, I think, of that. But it is an important milestone in terms of the pandemic. So the pandemic is not over. It hasn't been declared over. Essentially, as you quite rightly say, there is a trickle of cases that we do hear of. Yes, people are still at our hospitals. They are still dying, but not to the same extent. But I think it's still really critical for us. And again, this comes down again to an individual level. So if you have, you know, flu-like symptoms and so forth, again, you know, protect yourself, you know, withdraw from work or school, you know.
Just be responsible.
Those are things that are really important.
And just
be vaccinated. Get your boosters if you're in specific critical older age groups, you know, get them done so that you can be protected. Yeah, absolutely. So the surveillance continues. I mean, it's very difficult to predict that we will have, you know, variants that have been more severe, will be more severe. But again, we need to make sure that we're tracking all of that. So there are some so-called sentinel surveillance sites in South Africa that are tracking the SARS-CoV-2 just to ensure that what are we seeing and are we importing anything that's different that can lead to more severe disease.
And that is where we leave it. Professor Adrian Puren is the Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. Great chatting to you again. It's been way too long.